interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Let's begin tonight in Africa. I've been surprised by how many stories are coming in from Africa these days. You never know what to believe down there. The culture is still so foreign, so bizarre to most of us. But this is a story apparently credible enough to be reported by MSNBC from northern Namibia. Residents there in northern Namibia, on the southwest coast of Africa, claim they are being terrorized by a monster. It's a bizarre dog-pig hybrid. They call it the dog-headed pig monster. The animal is said to be mostly white and unlike anything the villagers have ever seen. With a dog-like head and the broad, round, nearly hairless back and shoulders of a giant pig. The beast was spotted chasing and attacking dogs, goats, and other domestic animals in this arid region not far from the Kalahari Desert. Some people in the area traced the beast to one old man, rumored to be a warlock or witch doctor, suggesting it's his pet, or what witch hunters call a familiar. They claim those kinds of beliefs are very much still rampant in Africa. And whether the experts and the reports say this are real phenomena, these are real, or it's a rumor, they say hopefully belief in these creatures will not be used as an excuse for mob attacks on elderly men and women suspected of witchcraft. So this could become, you know, so out of hand, people die because of it. Well, let me tell you, we have plenty of amazing material to dig into tonight. It's a special show for a number of reasons. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan, founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You got a little man-bear-pig situation going on there.
That was the first thing I thought of. Yeah, man-bear-pig, but now it's dog-headed pig monster. Either way, is Chicken Lover going to appear next, perhaps?
Perhaps. Who knows? It's Africa. Anything can happen.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, we have a very special show, and you know, Forrest, everything so far in the studio has gone wrong tonight.
We've got gremlins on the board tonight. We've got everything that could go wrong tonight getting this show going. Has gone wrong tonight.
Well, don't go that far. I'm sure there are still some things that can happen. We don't want to jinx us that badly, but you're right. A lot of things, yes. We're getting started a little bit late with some of the stuff that we usually do. And then, you know, here we are sitting here trying to figure out what's going on, and I realize, oh, crap. This is the first time I have ever had the cojones, maybe the naivete, maybe the stupidity, to bring two devil's toy boxes into this studio. One would be more than enough.
True.
Two devil's toy boxes. Now, Forrest, you know what a devil's toy box is.
I do.
Most people listening right now probably don't. Not only am I going to explain what the devil's toy box is, but I'm going to play some audio on this show tonight that I've never played on this program before. And it's especially fitting that we also have a person in the studio who knows something about the devil's toy box. The devil's toy box is it's a small device. Again, we'll get more into what it is. But the very first one that was ever made was assembled in the Lemur Lab by the delicate petite hands of investigator Shelley Wright. Shelley, is this not the devil's toy box that you put together at the Lemur Lab?
That is the one.
And, in fact, this one, we have two. One is, well, you know what? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Because there's too much to talk about here at the top of the show. We'll get back to the devil's toy box in a minute. But do you realize that you're the first person in the world who probably ever physically put one together?
Wow.
Now, and the reason I say that is because people tell me that I may have invented it. I never thought about that until I started thinking that, you know, I believe I'd heard about this concept here or there, but I don't think one had ever been put together that I know of. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. But we'll pretend I'm right, and that you, as far as I'm concerned, will always be the first person who ever physically assembled the devil's toy box. And then look what happened to your life. All downhill. Investigator Shelley Wright, Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm a little scatterbrained. I'm just getting so swamped, so slammed. You know, I'm going to be leaving shortly to go on this unbelievable adventure doing this new TV series. And so, in the meantime, a lot of other stuff has happened. The Associated Press has picked up the Brown Mountain Lights story about the symposium and the new research, and that's all over the place. Huffington Post and Yahoo News and Washington Post, CNN. And I recently did appearances on Coast to Coast AM and Darkness Radio related to the Devil's Toy Box. And I have something I'm going to tell you guys about that shortly, but tonight, we're not only going to play this audio that some people find very disturbing, and honestly, maybe this is not for you. You know, maybe you shouldn't listen to this. It might give you bad dreams. It might give you nightmares. You might invite things into your home. Sometimes these energies can be transmitted via radio. But nonetheless, I'm gonna play some stuff that's a little creepy, and we've got plenty of weird news. But also, we're going to have a guest on second hour of the show. A guy who has done something very ambitious. He is an author named Thomas P. Fusco. And he has written this 400-page book called Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, Merging Science, the Spiritual, and the Supernatural. That's a bold title, huh, Forrest? A New Vision of Reality. And can he live up to that, right? Well, you know, this book, it's sort of like part physics, part metaphysics, and part spirituality.
Well, the first thing that popped in my mind is Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time and Space when you held that up as like, but can it compare on that level, do you think?
I wouldn't know how to compare the two, frankly. I did read a brief history of time, and it was briefer than this.
Right.
I haven't made it through all of this because I just haven't had the time to read 400 pages back to back. Haven't had that time in about 15 years. but nonetheless, we'll see how the author is able to sort of condense this for us next hour, best he can. But there is so much to do because we did decide that even though over the next 3 months I am only guaranteed to be in town about 2 weeks, the outcry for Speaking of Strange content has been so overwhelming that, Forrest, you have agreed to do everything you can to put together some really amazing best of shows.
I have, and hopefully we're going to get going into the archives, deep into the archives, maybe stuff that's not even been aired and since it was originally aired 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Maybe longer ago
maybe
than
longer
that, 8 years
that.
Ago.
I mean, stuff that no one's heard since those original airings and maybe put stuff together and play it here weekly just to hear some of the great interviews that people might have missed.
Well, you know, when this show began, it was just a show that was being broadcast on one station, and if you missed it, that was it. There was no podcasting. Nobody was out there making recordings and putting them on the Internet. And so for years, we did some shows that were national-quality shows. But if you didn't live within the range of News Radio 570 and have your radio tuned to 570 that night, you were not going to hear it. And like you said, we're actually very fortunate they even exist. And so as I mentioned before, we're going to be, you know, processing some of those. And who knows what we're going to be airing over the next few months. And that's why it's worth doing it. This is not going to be, you know, something that you may have heard if you've been listening to the show for 5 or 6 years, which is a long time. No, we're going, like, deep for some of these. Deep, deep. So deep, my voice is still a little higher. You know what I mean? Everything hadn't fully dropped.
Back when you were a young boy.
I'm like, hi, I'm Joshua P. Warren. So anyway, we're going to have some cool stuff planned for you. But anyway, we're going to take a break here. And before we do that, let me just tell you about the Devil's Toy Box some. Because when we come back, we're going to play some recordings for you. The ironic thing is, here I have my own radio show. But I played this recording on Coast to Coast AM and Darkness Radio before I played it here. The reason is, I had not intended to release this yet. I wanted more research to be done. But Dave Schrader at Darkness Radio is so fascinated by the Devil's Toy Box. He pretty much convinced me that he wanted some audio, and I was like, fine. So I played this on his show, and it's just exploded. It's gone viral. It's wild. It's all over the Internet. When I come back, I'll explain what the Devil's Toy Box is. And then, you know, you'll hear something that some people say is very frightening and disturbing. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back.
Puma. If it don't move us, ain't paid so much I lose my combo. It's so wonderful night. Gotta take it from me. It's so wonderful night. It's so wonderful night. Gotta shake it from me. It's so wonderful night. Girl, I want it, you got it, your body's like...
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And I've gotten a lot of emails from people who would like to watch my live program that will soon be posted online. I did a program in Charleston, South Carolina, called 2012 Raw Truth and the Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. Mr. Mobius is working on getting that thing uploaded. It's been a little trickier than we thought to get all the options in place, but any day now, you just keep checking back secretwisdommovie.com. And it only costs $5, and you can watch it and download it and burn a copy of it and, you know, do what you will with it. There's no point trying to prevent people from pirating things. I just ask you not to do it, please. I'd appreciate it if you don't and contribute $5 to research. Because I was going to travel around and go on tour, Shelley, you know that, but not going to work out now with my other schedule. But... exciting stuff. Are you going to say something? No? Just... you're just sighing.
Breathing.
Okay, well, here's the deal with the Devil's Toy Box. I realized many years ago, when I began investigating haunted places, often I would go into a house, and the owner would say, "That's the haunted room." And I would walk in there and see a large mirror, or more especially, two mirrors that were facing each other, creating that infinite kind of image. It looks like a mirror within a mirror within a mirror, a tunnel of light. And so, of course, I became intrigued at that point with the possible relationship, the possible connection between mirrors and the paranormal. And, of course, if you think about the fact that all a mirror does is reflect light, and light is electromagnetism, mirrors are reflecting electromagnetism, and two mirrors can reflect it back on itself. It might be similar to feedback when you take a microphone and you hold it close to a speaker and you get a loud squeal because that signal starts becoming compressed and reinforced, and it accelerates until it becomes so energized, it just goes... And it's incredible the power that it produces. So the idea behind the Devil's Toy Box is something that was sort of deep-rooted in my psyche. I thought I'd had conversations with people about it, but I don't know exactly, you know, who I talked to. The idea is that you take six perfectly square mirrors, and you assemble them together into a cube with each mirrored face facing inward, so that if you were a little person standing in the middle of the cube, you would be in this incredible funhouse of mirrors, just surrounded. And the idea is that any light that were in there would just be bouncing around infinitely, creating almost this negative space, right? And I'd always heard that, or at least, you know, I my understanding was, if you would take this type of device to a place that was haunted, you would hear growls and cries and weird, some sort of unsettling noises coming from it. And this was something I'd written about, but I'd just never taken the time to do it. Well, that's the kind of thing that we do at the Lemur Lab. And so, a few years ago, we sat down there, Forrest and Shelley, we sat down at the Lemur Lab, which then was in a different location, and assembled the very first Devil's Toy Box. And once it was done, we actually put Mylar on the outside of it. Now, Shelley, since you were the person who literally put it together with your own hands, do you want to add anything at this point in the conversation?
Nope, you summed it up perfectly.
Okay. So
We then took a microphone, a little suction-type microphone, and put to it and made a recording. And we didn't get anything. We didn't hear anything. And we did this several times, and we didn't get anything. Well, I ended up bringing this to my house, and eventually I ended up creating a second one. And the second one is a little fancier. It looks a little cooler because it has mirrors on the outside. And that was one that I actually took to the Winchester house when I did an investigation on Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans. So, you know, we were joking before about, you know, Zach Bagans, ladies, has held this box in his hands. And maybe one day we'll put it on eBay. You can buy it and put it next to your bed and dream about it every night when you drift off to sleep. But nonetheless, spooky things started happening around my house after I got it. Weird noises, weird bangs. And I realized that when I took the Devil's Toy Box and I hooked a recorder up to it and held it up to Dr. Moody's psychomantium mirror, one of my most prized possessions. I won't go into the details of the psychomantium, but, you know, you've seen it, guys. It hangs on my wall. When I would record, I would get a buzzing, hissing sound. And I thought, well, maybe this is just, you know, some wiring I'm picking up in the walls. So I removed it. No, it didn't matter. It seemed like I would get some type of a recording when I would hold the Devil's Toy Box up to Dr. Moody's mirror. And so I became intrigued with the idea that the Devil's Toy Box is a type of antenna. So for a while, I took it over to the previous home of our museum, the old jail building there behind Pax Tavern. Now, we are no longer in that building, just to be clear. Our new location is in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. But when we were in the old jail building for a year, very haunted place. There was a suicide inside. There were many executions outside. At one point, I was there with a small group of researchers, and we were doing all kinds of things. And we hooked a recorder up to this Devil's Toy Box, the one that I took out to the Winchester Mansion, and made a recording. Now, what we got was bizarre, as you're about to hear. And it's bizarre because, now imagine this, the box is sitting there still. The recorder is sitting next to it still. The connection is actually an induction-type microphone like you would use if you wanted to pick up a telephone conversation. So you can scream into this microphone and it won't usually pick up anything. It picks up electromagnetic signals by induction. So this microphone is stuck on the side of the box. And nobody's touching it. It's not moving. It's just sitting there still for about an hour. Played back the recording. And I think this lasts about 20 seconds, right, Forrest? Okay, we have the original. First, I'm going to play for you the original. And then we have some enhancements that were done by the engineer for Darkness Radio, a fellow named Tim. So listen to about 20 seconds here of the Devil's Toy Box. Okay, let's play it one more time. Now, Tim, the engineer for Darkness Radio, he took that and he did some enhancements. We have three different clips, and one of them is when he actually played it in reverse. And that one says reverse, right, Forrest? So we'll save that one for the last. Let's play the other two. Let's play one of the two, and I don't know how he enhanced them. He scrubbed them in various ways. So here's just one of the enhancements. Okay, now let's play the second one, the one that, again, is not reversed, the second enhancement. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play the reversed one. The reversed one really is the one that freaks people out. But, Shelley, you just mouthed something to me. What was that?
Creepy.
Yeah, it really is. When we come back, you're going to hear more, and the one that a lot of people think is creepiest. We're listening to recordings from the Devil's Toy Box. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Talking right now about the Devil's Toy Box, and I'm a little bit concerned because I've gotten a lot of emails and texts and tweets from people all over the country saying, okay, I'm running out to build one now. And I don't know what's going on yet with this thing. If you want to build it, fine. If you're one of those people like me and you say, bring it on, good. But if you had rather be one of the people who hears the stories than ends up in the story, you might want to just hold off a little bit and just see what happens to all the other people around the country who build these things. And we're going to get a big collective wave of responses, I'm sure. And people all across the country are tuning in. That's one of the great things about this program. And before we play this reversal for you, this show is brought to you in large part by people across the country who support the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the home. It's a generator that I created, and it never needs fuel. It's quiet. It's efficient. And just go to sunshinesimple.com and take a look at the short little video there where I demonstrate it. It's all free, and you can see how it works and see if you would like one yourself. SunshineSimple.com. All right, before the break, we played the original recording from the Devil's Toy Box and some enhancements done by Tim of DarknessRadio.com. Well, Tim also reversed the clip, and here's what it sounds like in reverse. Now, I'm very hesitant to draw conclusions about what we hear here, but Shelley, tell me so far, what do you think about what you have heard from the Devil's Toy Box?
It's creepy. It is very creepy. And you know, I do not scare easily, and I wouldn't say that I'm scared, but there's something about it that's making my heart race.
Really?
Yeah. And not in a good way.
And it sounds like something's hitting the mic, or there's some kind of movement in there.
It does. It does. And it sounds like it keeps getting closer and closer and closer. And then you heard this, I guess it was a shout?
Everybody seems to agree it sounds like a vocalization.
Mm. It does sound like it.
Now, Forrest, you've been in the radio business most of your life now, I guess.
I have.
What do you think about this?
Well, it sounds like sort of almost like a sinister laugh, almost. So what I would say, can we play it again real quick?
Yeah, the original?
No, the reversed here.
Okay, here we go.
The best way I can describe it, it sounds like almost like a some kind of canine dog or wolf growling almost, and then, like I said, it's like, let me see if I can repeat the sound here. It's like almost like someone hitting the mic.
Right
there.
I was thinking dog, you know, blowing into a mic or hitting. That's weird that you...
Well, also, now, of course, I don't know... How to perceive a lot of this yet, because we don't know what's going on here. But when I was doing Coast to Coast, there was a lady who called in and suggested that, or actually maybe it was on Darkness Radio, but there was a lady who suggested that maybe because this was in a chamber of mirrors, that what we recorded needed to be played in reverse and might even need to be flipped upside down. And we haven't done all that stuff yet, but you know, it can be done. You can flip sounds in all different kinds of weird ways. I found this out, for example, especially when I was working very hard for years to transfer some of the old wire recordings that I had. And you know what I'm talking about, Forrest.
I do.
And sometimes you'd get a transfer, but the transfer would be like backwards and upside down.
And lows would be highs and highs would be lows.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd have to flip it around in all these different ways, and then you'd finally get to the original recording.
Or you'd have to speed it up or slow it down.
Yeah.
Just depending on what was there.
Yeah, so there may be an inconsistency here between what was happening and what we recorded, but one last time, let's just play the original. And I'll just leave this story where it is, because we can't explain it, and until we get more feedback, we're not going to know. So here's the original one more time. Devil's...
Give me a second to get it queued up here.
Sure. Devil's Toy Box, direct microphone recording. And by the way, when we go to Transylvania, Dave Schrader is planning on bringing one of these with us. So we, I'm sure, will be the first people to ever go to Transylvania with a Devil's Toy Box. I mean, speaking of Transylvania, we are, you know, supposedly sold out, but there are some people who might have to cancel. So go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. joshuapwarren.com. Contact Helen Preston, our travel agent, if you want to be, you know, on the list to possibly get to go with this. It may not be too late. But, you know, when it comes to analyzing evidence, the great thing about the Devil's Toy Box is that this is something that anybody can make. It's very simple and inexpensive to make. In fact, I think for our very first one, I just went to, like, Dollar Tree or something and bought a bunch of $1 mirrors. Right, Shelley?
Yes.
Yeah.
We got some little Hello Kitty compacts, and we tore the mirrors out.
Yeah. So you don't have to be rich to do this, and it's accessible. What is frustrating is when somebody presents some type of paranormal evidence and they just can't give more details. And have you guys heard the big ruckus about what is being called possibly the best Bigfoot photo ever taken?
No.
Yeah. This has been circling the net now for maybe a week or so. And, you know, they have these trail cams. We've got one that hunters can put on a tree, and if something moves in front of it, the thing will either shoot a picture or a video camera will come on. Well, my understanding is this is from Texas. I'm not certain. It's posted online, and we're going to make sure there's a link at speakingofstrange.com so you can see this. The site goes down sometimes. It gets so slammed, though. They're being very mysterious. They won't say who shot this, exactly where it was shot. I mean, and if it's real, maybe you can understand that. Because if you had access to a piece of property with Bigfoot on it, maybe you wouldn't want the entire world descending on, you know, your property. But nonetheless, I have on my computer right in front of me a trail cam shot. And if real, I can almost understand why they might say this is the best picture of Bigfoot ever seen. Okay, now Forrest, you just leaned over and looked at it, and your eyes lit up, and you raised your eyebrows, and you're smiling now. And Shelley's working her way around here to see this photograph. It kind of looks like Forrest with his shirt off, honestly. We've been on camping trips before, and I've seen that angle. But other than that, Forrest, what do you think of this picture?
It looks like my brother with his shirt off. but, I mean, there's definitely something there. I mean, of course, that's the classic answer to everything, but there is some kind of hairy creature there.
Yeah.
But it's framed up almost too well.
Well, okay. Well, you know, let me give everybody an explanation of what it looks like, and then we'll get Shelley's input here as well. This trail cam, and by the way, this may be cropped, so we can't just rely on the framing. It may be cropped, but it looks like the back from about mid back up of a big husky humanoid form with a domed head. Very stocky, and what's kind of cool is that it has this kind of wispy, grayish-brown hair kind of flowing down its entire back, but the flash allows you to see the flesh underneath the hair. And it looks like the flash, you know, has allowed you to sort of penetrate the layer of hair. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
We'll be right back.
in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, we're going to chat with a man who thinks, well, he may have it all sort of figured out. He's an author. His name is Thomas Fusco. And he's written a new book called Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, Merging Science, the Spiritual, and the Supernatural. So we will see if he can open our eyes. He's going to address questions like, is there a divine order within the cosmos? Are UFOs really advanced spacecraft? What are anti-gravity, time travel, teleportation? How is this all possible? How was matter created from a void? Is dark matter real? Why can't we see it? How did life originate on Earth? Whew, big questions. We're going to see what he can squeeze in here. So right now, speaking of life on Earth, we're talking about this Bigfoot photo. And Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop has seen plenty of Bigfoot evidence. By the way, Wright's Coin Shop, if you want to buy gold and silver, this is the time, isn't it, Shelley?
This is definitely the time.
It's low right now. It's low.
It is.
And you buy it now, and when it gets expensive again, you sell it.
Exactly. You take your profit, you smile, you go on. It did take quite a hit today, gold and silver both, especially gold. But don't panic sell. That's what most people do.
The number there, writes, is 828-298-5402. And if somebody wants to call you, you'll take time to speak with them individually. And
I certainly will.
Give them advice. 828-298-5402. Shelley, what do you think about this Bigfoot photo?
Big hairy back man? No.
It does look like it.
It kind of does. The back view, if this is true, it's amazing. It's clear. It just looks like the back of him. He even looks like he has snatches of hair missing on his head. You
right.
See that?
Yeah.
You can see. I mean, it looks like flesh. You can see pieces of flesh beneath it. This, I'd like to find out more.
Well, it's hard to believe, as Bigfoot stuff always is. But what I can tell you is I think that if this was hoaxed, it took a long time to make a dude up this way.
Yes.
It looks like they got a big guy with kind of a stocky build and a round head, and they, like, individually took the time, like you see them do in special effects movies, to insert these hairs, to paste them. Because it really does look believable.
And if it is true, I mean, it would be hard to imagine that you couldn't find this hair out and about. I mean, it's what did you call it, willowy?
Yeah.
It's long, it's thick, it's going to get caught in things.
Well, that's always been my problem with thinking of Bigfoot as a normal biological organism. There's got to be a hell of a lot more hair, more dung, more of a general impact on the ecology. I mean, you can go to some big, huge national forest, and you can find a trace of every little caterpillar, every little bird. I mean, every creature, if you know what to look for, makes an impact on everything else. You know, and yet Bigfoot always appears to just be this sort of separate entity that doesn't leave this kind of impact. And you're talking something that's 8 feet tall, 800 to 1,200 pounds. There's just no way that Bigfoot could exist as a normal biological organism. So if there is a Bigfoot, in my opinion, as you know, it's some kind of an interdimensional being, because that's the only way that you could even conceive of this. I mean, like you said, Shelley, look at this. This is a big, hulking, hairy thing. Look how much hair a dog leaves behind. A cat leaves behind.
Exactly.
Don't tell me. Even a person.
You find
people hairs everywhere. You can't murder somebody anymore. You know, you fart in the room and they got your DNA. And Don't tell me that you can't find a Bigfoot if he's running around out there and he looks like this.
And it doesn't look like it's very easy for this fella to move around easily. He's just so big and bulky and hulky and, yeah.
Almost said hunky, didn't you, Shelley?
That's what you wanted to hear.
I think you like big, hairy guys. I have no reason why I think that, but maybe it's because you have sort of a lion mane of hair, of red hair. So, anyway, you know what? We're out of time this hour, but when we come back, we're going to chat for a bit about some big, big questions, and I'll ask Thomas Fusco what he thinks about Bigfoot interdimensionals. That'd be a good question for him. And who knows what news we'll have time to get around to, but obviously the Dark 30 Hour is going to be, pretty crazy tonight. The world's going nuts. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, and we'll make sure this photo is posted at speakingofstrange.com. Be sure to join the live chat there. Find links to the Haunted Asheville ghost tours, the Mystery Museum, all kinds of good stuff. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.